Karen, thanks for joining me on the show.
You're more than welcome, Amber. It's always a pleasure.
So you've relaunched the business as Kerry Food Tours. Can you tell us maybe what that involves?
So I suppose when I started originally, it was only a hobby, something to do on a Wednesday to get me out of the house and take people around Kinmare and let them meet the people behind the food and taste some of the fantastic food we have here. I never saw it growing into a business, which it has done, surprisingly. And then last year, on the success of it all, I launched Killarney Food Tours, which kind of left me in a bit of a quandary. It was like, am I Kinmare Foodie Tours or am I Killarney Food Tours? And then this year, with the help of Fall to Ireland, I worked on an entire new website. So that was launched a few weeks ago. And just under that, then it made sense to rebrand everything and to launch it all as Kerry Food Tours. So under the Kerry Food Tour umbrella, then you still have the Kinmare Foodie Tour, which is my original baby. And then you have Killarney Food Tours. And I also have a Bite of Beara, taking people out in the gorgeous Beara Peninsula, meeting farmers out there.
That's fantastic. You've a lot going on there, but it's great to see that it's obviously proving successful, that you could relaunch and, you know, grow the business over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I suppose it's been magnificent or wonderful how it's happened. And it's all caught me by surprise, because I suppose I'm very active on social media. So the first year, the Wednesdays were filling out, and I wouldn't have expected that. They're the public tours. And it was people who followed me. They were coming from Gunnagilla, they were coming from Rathmore, they were coming from Cork, and they were coming to Kinmare to, I suppose, meet me and to do a food tour with me. And then, obviously, what happened then, I was pushing it out on social media, so a lot of, they're called DMCs, so they're a destination management company, so they would deal with, let's say, the ultralux Americans that come, let's say the small family groups. They have got their private drivers, or yesterday I had a group of 12, they were six couples, they were all friends, and they were touring around Ireland together, so I brought them on a food tour, and it's a wonderful thing for me to do, to be a part of that with them and share a part of their holiday. But that has, I suppose, been how the business has grown really rapidly for me. It's every year there's new companies coming on board saying, can we send people to you, to Kinmare or Killarney? And I think with the Killarney tour as well, it's a different angle to Killarney that they seem to really appreciate. We know how beautiful Killarney is, but now we're telling the story of the food in Killarney too, which is great.
It is, and it's fantastic, and it's a huge credit to you that it's grown so much, I suppose, in the last couple of years as well. You're talking about the food tours there, just for people maybe who wouldn't be familiar. Will you talk us through the different ones? So maybe start with the Kinmare one, and we can move on to Killarney after that, and then Beara maybe, if that's okay, Karen.
Yeah, so the Kinmare and the Killarney ones, they're basically a walking food tour. And I guess I'm lucky in both places that they're not huge, so there's like little time between the places that we stop, which, you know, makes it very unique as well. You're not walking from one side of a big city to another. So in Kinmare, like, it's a little triangle and I have so many stops. It's a tiny town. But yesterday I had five stops on my tour, and I was trying to explain to them, like, that the population of Kinmare is about 3,000. And they met five producers yesterday. They tasted wonderful produce, all made in Kinmare. That's the beauty of it. It's all hyper-local, so it's made out the back or down the lane or out the road, you know. And that you have all of that in such a small area. And I was saying there was still another four or five stops that I could have included on the tour. So I'm spoiled for choice. So they spend about maybe 20, 25 minutes in each stop. Most of the time they are meeting the producers. Sometimes some of the stops the producer mightn't be available, so I'll do the talk and we'll do the tasting. But it just gives them a real sense of community and of the town. And like that, I had Polo Kaneda, the travel journalist, on the first year, come on a tour. And when he was finished, he said, I've covered Kinmare for years. I've come down and I've written about it. But he said, I've never, ever gotten underneath the skin like I have today. And that really kind of blew me away. And for people who are traveling, they tend to do like a whistle stop tour. So it really gives them a sense of, if they're in Kinmare for one night, they walk away feeling they know Kinmare or Killarney. They've not just gone and seen the beautiful spots or eaten the food. They've met the people behind them. They've heard the stories, like in Killarney, the story of J.M. Reedy's. I mean, that just blows them away when we go in there. You know, it's like a museum, and they love that. So Killarney is pretty much the same. It's based on walking and like strolling. We go into the Ross Hotel, or we might go into the urban farm, into Tango Street Food, and just hear their stories, taste their produce. And it's just a lovely way to spend 2.5 or 3 hours of your holiday.
It certainly is. It sounds fabulous. And I suppose the added benefit as well, while obviously people are, you know, learning more about the towns that they're in and about the produce that's there, it's a great way for local producers to showcase exactly what they can do and what they have on offer as well. So there's a dual benefit there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like, I always say on the tour, and I think I had this conversation with them yesterday, in fact I did, it was like, they could come to Kemer for their two or three nights and they can walk down the street and say, wow, this is a beautiful town, it looks lovely. But it's when you open the doors and when you step inside, I mean, there are places that they might not necessarily go into. Like yesterday we spent a good half an hour with Alain Bra inside in his wine shop in Kemer, and you open the door there, it's beautiful on the outside, but when you open the door and when you walk inside and you see all the wine and the old shelves, and then you meet Alain, who's friend, and his wife Christine, and you hear their story and how Christine grew up in Kemer, how Alain came to Kemer from France working in Sheen Falls as a sommelier, and he's now here married. It puts a different perspective on everything.
It certainly does. And you touched on it there, you know, we can all walk down a street and think we know it very well, but there's always some hidden gem. And that's, I suppose, where you come in then. You know, you have the local knowledge and you know the people in the towns and what they have to offer. So it's giving a local experience, I suppose, to people who are travelling through, which is lovely.
Absolutely. And like that, I suppose it's as Fáilte Ireland would say in trainings I've done with them, it's the immersive experience. And that's what people want post-COVID. Travel has changed. People want unique experiences. They want to meet people. They want to immerse themselves in it. And they want to feel like they're doing something that is very, very special.
And is that something you're noticing as well, Karen? Are you busier, I suppose, since COVID has passed?
See, I was kind of funny in that I started in 2018. 2018 and 2019 were kind of like the hobby years. It was just a Wednesday and the odd private tour. And then I didn't run them during COVID because I only had Kemer at the time, and I have a great relationship with my producers. The relationship I have with my producers is very unique, and it is what makes my business, I think, as good as it is. So I didn't want to be the extra stress on top of COVID certs and sanitizing and all of this. So I stopped them for 2 years. And didn't think that I'd bring them back, only Fáilte Ireland kind of pushed me and pushed me and pushed me and said, look, we really believe in you and we really believe in these. And they made me do training courses and this and that. And I was cursing them. But here I am, so glad that I did listen to the people who knew. And so is it busier post-COVID, to answer your question? I don't know. For me, it is anyway. But I just think it's how tourism has changed, I think, really is the thing.
That must be a lovely feeling to have Fáilte Ireland backing you like that. You know, as you said, you know, he started it out as a hobby, but it's really grown. And I suppose having their support, you know, they obviously know what they're talking about and they're a national body. So it's great to have someone like that who can see the potential in what you're doing and to help you along the way.
I have to say yes. And for anybody who is thinking of starting out a business in tourism, don't be afraid of Fáilte Ireland. I have had nothing but support from them. I've had financial assistance with my website. They have this fantastic thing at the moment called Digital.Delivers, where you can get your website redone. I've taken that. It's taken 2 years because there's different steps along the way. But it has really pushed me out there and really readied me for the market and made me confident in my business as well. You know, other little things like I did a saleable experience course with them. So I had all of these ideas, but it was like how to get them down. So now I have my list of my itineraries, my list of my pricings. So when a tour operator comes to me and says, Karen, we've got 10 people we want to send to Kemer in July for a tour, can you tell me what you can do and what's your pricing? I just bang that off to them. Whereas before I would have been overwhelmed by the whole thing and kind of saying, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? Whereas they have my list, I'm clear, they're clear, and then they can come back and book it or not book it.
That's great to hear. It's fantastic to have that in place. And Karen, as we said already, you did mention it was a hobby, I suppose, when it started out first. Did you ever kind of dream of owning your own business, or was it something that just kind of came along and you found a love for it as it came along?
See, I still don't see it as a business because it's still the thing I love. So no, I never, ever, ever, ever thought that I would have a business. I mean, I'm a stay-at-home mum, or I was a stay-at-home mum. I didn't go to college. I had my first child at 19. I literally just blogged my way out of my kitchen. So I started blogging back in 2012 and posting my recipes. And that's what led me to where I am now. So yes, it's a business, but I find it very hard to think of it as a business. I still see it kind of like, because it's still my hobby because I love doing it.
You're very lucky. I know people always say, you know, do something that you love. It won't feel like work. Not everyone is as lucky, I suppose, as you and gets to do that. But it must be fabulous for you to actually be doing that every day and to love it so much and to see it grow in front of your eyes. That must be a fabulous feeling of accomplishment.
It is. I guess I don't kind of stop and think. I think that's part of why things work for me because I just run with them. I don't give them too much thought. It can be a good thing or a bad thing, but I don't stop and think too much. The only thing I do know is that I don't want it to be too big. I don't want it to be the thing that I end up hating. So I have a girl that does the Killarney tours for me, Serena. She's fantastic. So she's guiding the Killarney tours last year and this year. So I do hope to push those and for those to expand. And then I'll be doing Khmer, but then there's a lot of admin that goes with it. So I'm in the background trying to deal with all the emails, the booking requests, the invoices, the social media, all of that kind of stuff, and running tours. So it will even if it means that in the height of summer, I have to say to people, no, I'm sorry, I can't take a tour from you. That's the way it has to be, because I don't ever want it to be that I don't love it.
That's a great attitude to have. Remind us of the website again. So if people want to find out more, where can they find you?
It's kinmerfoodies.com.
I presume people as well, Karen, can book through the website if they want to.
Oh yeah, it all goes through the website. So the bookings for all of the tours, for the public tours, every Wednesday in Kinmare, every Thursday, Friday in Killarney for the summer season. And then I'm all year round available for private bookings. And the Bite of Beara is on that as well, the private bookings.
And it sounds like it is quite busy at the moment. Are you kind of expecting a busy summer season ahead?
So far, the bookings coming in this year are, yes, they're proving to be very busy. I'm not a businesswoman. I don't have any experience in the past, so I suppose I'm only going in last year. And so far, my bookings would be ahead of what they would have been last year. So I do think it's going to be busy. But then it's fine, because even if it means that July and August, you know, I'll only ever do one tour a day anyway. So even if I just have five tours a day in Kinmare for July and August, then that's fine.
That's fantastic. It sounds great. The very best of luck and huge congratulations. It's a huge success.
Amber, thank you so much.